This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 549 of the Authentic Persuasion Show. On today's episode, I want to talk about when selling is easy if you're really doing any sales. Now, one of the things that's happened recently is the economy has changed. Recording this the beginning of November 2022, and the economy has changed, the market has changed, the world is changing in some different ways. We're seeing a lot of layoffs right now, especially in the tech world, B2B SaaS companies where they're laying people off at scale, which always makes me wonder, like, how valuable is something if the economy, not even in a recession, not even having serious issues, leads to people being laid off from their jobs, especially sales roles. An interesting indication, and maybe a conversation for another time, regarding what that really says about that company. Now, obviously, companies expand. They make the most that they can, right? Make hay while the sun shines is kind of the mode. But then, like, if it doesn't persist, then how valuable was it? Or your time came and went, and that's it. What I'm referring to mostly, though, in today's episode is what about the industries where it's easy? So, for example, the mortgage industry, loan officers. They just had a good run over many years of historically low interest rates. And I got into the mortgage business as my first professional sales job, air quotes, in 2002. I didn't think it was sales. It really wasn't sales. I still screwed it up in so many ways because I didn't know how to sell or persuade people. And I literally did things wrong. But at the time, and just like the market that we just had in the real estate mortgage loan officer world, it was order taking. It was truly order taking. It was marketing to get people to call you instead of somebody else. It was marketing to book appointments. But then when it comes to the actual engagement of moving people forward, sure, there was picking you over somebody else, but it was order taking. And the public saw it as a commodity, right? Where they saw low interest rates in the news all the time. I remember so many conversations, and this is in 2002, 2003, where people would come to me and say, well, I saw on Bankrate this interest rate, and so what is yours? And we're talking 20 years ago. So we're talking different access to everything. Yes, there's internet, but at the time, there weren't smartphones, right? Our first iPhone didn't come out until, what, 2007? And so people might have had Blackberries, but not really. And so it wasn't a big thing to commoditize the mortgage industry the way that it was just done. And so we were order takers. In fact, the joke was, the inside kind of jest within the group or within the industry was, hey, if you wanted to make six figures, answer your phone every once in a while, and you don't even necessarily need to call people back. Now, that wasn't the truth. That wasn't completely accurate. It took a lot of work if you wanted to make a lot of money because there was a lot of processing and things were awkward and bulky, and we were a broker at the time, and so it was like brokering to a lot of different loans, and there was all kinds of crazy loan options at the time, and the stated loans, the no-income stuff, the 80-20s, the this, the that, and so many different rules and so many different options that it was a bunch of work. But from a sales perspective, it wasn't. It wasn't overly difficult because people were in a frenzy and they wanted what they wanted. And they saw the mortgage as a commodity. Even recently, I heard somebody say their advice is basically to marry the house and date the rate, right? So they want people to get committed on the rate or get their mind stuck on an interest rate. They want them to get stuck on the house and then figure out the rate and that part there. But really, we're not talking about sales when it comes to being a loan officer in the recent mode. Now, there's some people who might protest. There's some people who might want to reply and send me messages and talk about how much sales they did. And yes, of course, there's always some aspect of sales and persuasion. Obviously, if somebody has a certain rate or a certain payment in mind, and it's not going to be that, you've got to persuade them and got to help them realize in the big picture. And if you're doing refis, like, I get it, right? There's always some aspect of sales in everything out there. Anybody who knows me knows that I say that all the time, right? Everything in life is sales. With that being said, it was an easy time. It has been easy for people in the mortgage business to basically do what they do and make a bunch of money. And so my challenge is when I hear people who have been in the mortgage business and they talk about how amazing they are, or they give this air of how great they are, it's partially timing. Like, obviously there's effort, right? So I'm not dismissing that completely, but come on, you made money in a gold rush when everybody was making money at the expense of homeowners, right? People who wanted to buy houses, and you basically made fees on that, and you got people into the house they wanted or refinanced, and that was it, right? Nothing against it, but it wasn't really difficult sales. The challenge I see is that group of people now, with the cutbacks and the fact that you now actually have to work for a living in the mortgage business in particular, with rates have gone up, is you're no longer going to have 80% of your business be on refinances. You're going to have 80% of your business being purchases, new home loans, like loans on homes where people are buying them. That takes more effort, takes more paperwork, and it takes more persuading and sales, and it's going to take more marketing, because now you're helping someone who they wanted a lower payment. Now they're going to have a higher payment, and they really see it as a commodity, and they're really going to shop. And so what's interesting is in this mode here, we're really going to see who built an effective marketing and sales loan officer business for themselves or for their team, right? For their company, who actually wanted to be a sales professional and build it like a professional organization and not just picking up money as long as they could until things changed, right? So we're going to see that. Now, why am I talking about this today? Is that A, for people in those industries or anything like that, be aware, right? You have two choices. One is you can just make as much money as you can and do a cash grab in your sales role or your business that you have, like whatever you're selling, and then realize it's going to end and there's going to be a stop when the market changes or the buyers change or whatever, and then you'll be done. And that's it. And then you've got to go find something different to do. Or you can focus on building a sales experience and a sales operation that can withstand the change in the market or the change in buyers' requirements, and one that can succeed even when things get difficult. Because right now, if you look at it, with rates going up, if we keep looking at this mortgage loan officer situation, rates have gone up a lot relative to what they were, still not relative to what they have been in the past for some people who may remember those high interest rates. But it's gone up. It's weeding out a lot of people. The weak will go away. The weak salespeople, the weak sales operations, the weak processes, the weak structure, the weak company cultures, the weak marketing, all of that is going to go away, right? It's survival of the fittest. It's evolution from a business standpoint. And that's just what happens, right? It's not even anything against the mortgage industry. It's just something that happens in business and cycles and evolution. And there's a lot, and then it narrows down to a few. And for the ones who focus on success long term, you will have less competition and you will shine, right? Money is usually made when things are tough, right? A lot of businesses and a lot of individuals make a lot of money during bad times, during recessions. When other people are selling, they are buying. When other people are fleeing an industry, they are hunkering down and they're doubling down on their marketing, for example. Instead of, oh my gosh, things are bad, we should stop marketing and we should lay off our sales staff. If you trust in yourself and you believe you've built a good business and a solid sales operation and an effective sales experience, which is what I rarely see, then you would know that you want to double down your marketing efforts, right? You want to go after the market that everyone else is abandoning because they're afraid or they're weak or they're ineffective. And so whatever your industry is, right? Again, right now we're looking at this big layoff trend that's happening in the B2B SaaS world, right? Software as a service. And so what happens is lots of companies are laying off, lots of companies are slimming down, people are making a change, lots of people are available to be out there in the workforce and sales roles. And so you have this dynamic where, again, if a company has a valuable product in what they're selling as a B2B SaaS organization, if the world actually gets value from what you sell. Not just you thinking it has value, not just you being married to it and being so excited by it and enamored by it and thinking that your baby is the cutest and everyone should definitely want your baby, right? And be a part of this. But if you actually have something of valuable value that people would want and are better off buying yours instead of others, or buying your product or service instead of doing nothing, if that's the case, then double down. Then this is the time. It is always the time for you to expand, obviously responsibly. But it is the time, right? If you have something of value. And this is where we really see the test. This is what we saw the test in the pandemic. This is what I saw in the early months of the pandemic, was the companies who thought they were amazing at sales, thought they had a really good culture, and then it was put to the test when it's everyone had to work remote. And then what you saw was a lot of companies who thought they were amazing that had very weak company cultures and had no systems and processes, and their effectiveness was essentially by micromanaging, managing in person, maybe managing with fear and or bribes, and then all of that's out the window when everyone's remote. And then now what have you got? All you got left is your company culture, your systems, and your processes. It's really what it is, and your leadership ability and how much people want to be a part of it. And so you saw a lot of companies, I saw a lot of companies just get punched in the face, not just by the pandemic or the economy, but by their lack of processes, by their lack of systems, by what they had not built, and they were relying on the numbers game or relying on people to just do what people do and hoping that everyone knows what to do. And if you send them home, they'll just keep doing it. And they were built on a lot of hope, right? That foundation of hope is a very dangerous, shaky foundation to be built on. So in this mode, if you've been selling something that was easy, if you feel like it's been easy, if you run an organization where you feel like, hey, we've been doing really well, I'm not trying to scare you, but what I would want you to do is think, how well have I built a company culture? Do we have mission, vision, and core values? Are those stated? Are those documented? Does everybody know what they are? Could my team recite them on demand? If I asked my employees, if I asked my salespeople, what is the mission of this company? What is the vision of this company? What are our core values? Would your team be able to answer that? Would they know the company culture? Every company has a culture, by the way. Very few of them have it documented where everyone knows what it is. But there's always a culture there. Is it good? Is it bad? Positive? Negative? Is it supportive? Not supportive? Whatever that might be. Every company has a culture. So that's the first part. The second part is in this mode, have you built the sales operation that will help you scale and help you succeed, right? Some of it's just not going backwards, weathering a storm, but not having to shrink. Some of it is about actually expanding. And that's the thing to ask yourself is, do you have a sales operation that's built to scale? Have you filled in all of the categories with systems, processes, documentation, and structure of a part of a sales process? And that's where in my iceberg model, there's 24 categories below the surface that need to be accounted for if you want to have a scalable sales operation. And then finally, and really this should probably be the second thing, but I'm putting it third on the list here, is have you built a world-class sales experience? Customers do not care about your product or service. They do not think you're as amazing as you do. I'm sorry to break that to you, right? I'm sorry to tell you, your customers see you as a commodity first. At some point, they will see the value. At some point, they will understand how you can help them. But in the moment, in the beginning, they see you as a commodity. They see you as something like everybody else. You think you have the world's greatest CRM platform that's going to solve everything, that's different than all the other ones. Your customer, potential customer, sees it as just another CRM that their team probably won't use and is maybe another waste of money like the other CRM or CRMs that they've already purchased. In their mind, it's a commodity and they don't care. Obviously, the act of selling and selling with authentic persuasion is to persuade them and help the right people move forward and get value for themselves and see why it makes sense, if it makes sense. But have you focused on that? Have you taken into account that all that matters right now, all that matters in this era we are in, and I don't mean post-pandemic, I don't mean economic, I don't mean anything like that. I mean what people are looking for most. Have you built a world-class sales experience? Have you? Have you taken that into account? Is all of your team providing a world-class sales experience? Do they all follow the same process? Are they using the same kind of language, the same types of scripting for the parts of the conversation that should be scripted and done the same way? Right? Do they provide a world-class sales experience to your potential customers? Now, a lot of people in sales think, oh, you can't structure it, you can't do scripts, you can't do this, you gotta let me do what I do best, and don't worry about it, I know how to sell, I've been doing this for a lot, like I hear it all the time. And then in my mind, I think if you wanna be successful, you have to build a system, build a process, and build a world-class sales experience. When somebody goes to, let's say, a very nice restaurant, a very experiential restaurant, or a very experiential place like a Disneyland or Disney World, do you think they've made sure that everyone is following the same process, saying the same type of things, sticking to a standard, understanding the mission, vision, and core values of the organization? Are they doing what needs to be done to provide that experience to you, the customer? Sales is no different, right? Obviously, there's more to it. To persuade another human who's scared, confused, and worried takes a lot of effort. But at the same token, it's the same thing. So many people in sales think they are exempt from having to be structured or having a system or having a process or using tools, right? For some reason, that's just a thing. And I'm not going to get into why in this podcast, but I train so many teams on this where it's to shift them out of that mindset, shift them into the mindset of the sales experience and why the only thing that matters is the sales experience. When your customers view you as a commodity and they think everything is a commodity, and we all do in all of our minds, like most of us as consumers in our daily life or customers through our business, we think everything is a commodity. So in that case, have you built a world-class sales experience? If you have found that you are doing well in business or you have done well and you know that at some point it's going to shift, it is not too late. Make sure, again, you have a strong company culture. Two, make sure you build your sales operations, systems, processes, documentation, and all of that. And then three, make sure that you have built and your team is following whatever it takes for your industry, for your business, for your company, for your model to provide a world-class sales experience. And of course, if you want help with any of those, if you want help with ideas for that or structuring it or training or consulting or advising, that's what I do, helping a lot of companies, especially as we all make this transition and things are happening in the economy, the world, and just consumers in general. Please make sure to reach out to me. You can always email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, or you can find me on social media. And of course, make sure to check out the website, cutterconsultinggroup.com. Just got redone. And I appreciate you being here. Hopefully this helps you in your sales role with your sales team and your business, and just making sure that you succeed in the future of sales. And the future of sales is right now.